Hello again, everyone. This is David Creel, your certified Ziglar coach, with my friend and my friend who actually lives on a boat in Florida. That's the only person I know that lives on a boat. I have Pauline Forshee with me today, and she's a licensed, registered dietitian, nutritionist. And she uses the Bible as her guide. She has a biblically based approach to what she does. And the name of her company is Joy Rising Nutrition. So, Ms. Pauline, thanks for joining me today. How are you?
I'm awesome. Thank you. I am very happy to be here today, David.
Awesome. That makes two of us. So if it's all right with you, I'd like to just go ahead and jump right into it. What would make this an extraordinary conversation today?
Oh, goodness. To make an extraordinary conversation today would be able to maybe step through the process of what it takes to be working in a virtual setting nowadays through telehealth, through using Zig Ziglar's approach. I love the book, Choose to Win, and I use a lot of that actually as a guide using the Bible. But of the collecting funds and just being able to step into being comfortable accepting payment for a gift that God has given, but also, you know, that's my profession, is what I do. So I'm learning how to do that. But as I'm learning, I'm thinking that there may be other people who struggle as well with being able to stand firm and say, you know what, I'm worthy of payment.
So who told you, or where did you pick up the belief that you're not worthy to be paid for what you do?
I grew up in a generation where if the belief was, if God gave you a gift for something, then you used that gift to help others, period. Not that, okay, it's a gift, how about you make it your profession and do what you've been given a skill and a blessing to do, something that you enjoy to make money on. I have, in my 50-some years of life, come to see that way of thinking as not complete. I don't want to say incorrect because they taught what they knew at the time, but it has evolved. And I am learning now that it's okay to ask for payment. And you and I have had these conversations. We had one just recently, which was very opening for me. And I since have embraced your homework assignment with zealous and have been able to boldly ask for payment, where I struggled with that before because I felt bad asking for money for something that I enjoy doing and something that I know is a benefit to other people. That comes into that servant heart where I want to help people. God gave me the gift of servitude. But so that's where it stems from just, I think, a generational upbringing.
What did you or do you feel when it comes time to ask for payment for your services that you've rendered or are going to render in the future? What resistance do you feel when it's time to ask for the money?
Again, it goes back to, if I can help somebody, it's that belief, that old ingrained belief of when you just help them. You can't put a price on helping people. But in the healthcare profession, let's be honest, we do. It's not that we don't want to. And I do tithe my service. I do help people who are in need without payment. But I've since established a fee agreement, and I make my patients, parents, I work with pediatrics. I have their parents sign the pay agreement before I start service now. I've had legal documents drawn up, and this is what it is. When you come into my office, know that I will be expecting payment at time of service. When it's telehealth, I have agreements in place now that they have to fill out, provide information of payment. So at the time of the virtual appointment, I received payment. And the first few times I did that, it was very awkward, but it has since become easier. And I think having created the documents that they've signed I feel much more free to say, okay, we've agreed on this service. Those expectations are there and they've agreed on it. I've agreed on it. There's no longer assuming, but the expectation is met. I fulfilled my end of the obligation. They're going to fulfill theirs.
So I get that previous influence on your life were just incorrect in their assessment of what should be the case. What would you like it to be going forward? What would you like your mindset to be when it comes to the money going forward?
Just a natural flow of continued care that is just part of the care. Just as I would give any other paperwork, documentation, information to the patients or parents, this is just something that I need from them. Just as I ask them to send me food journals, food diaries, exercise, different information that I request from my patients. This is just one more just steady natural flow.
Awesome. And whenever you think of the processes you've put in place over the last several days or a couple of weeks, how does it make you feel to know that not only is your service valuable and needed, but people are also willing to pay you money for it?
It's very validating. It is. It's a sense of validation of, and the fact that they expect it. You know, they're like, well, I wondered why you hadn't sent a receipt yet. I had a customer this week that I actually had sent two invoices to, and they said they hadn't received it. I reconfirmed their email address, and I had sent it to the correct email address, but they were saying they hadn't received it. So I reached out to them by phone, and they said, please send it again, and they paid it within 10 minutes. So for them, it's a natural assumption. It's me. It's my mental hangup. And so moving through that hang up has been very freeing and validating.
Awesome. Because for as many people that are willing to not pay you, there's also equal or more people who are willing to pay you. You know,
correct. And I'm learning that now.
Yeah. And it takes just as much effort to create a new client or customer or team member or whatever you call the people that come to work with you. It takes just as much effort to create a client that does pay you as it does to create a client that does not pay. So what would you like it to look like going forward? Do you have different packages? Do you have a menu? Is it a one size fits all for everybody that comes in? This is the package, and this is what it cost. Or do you have a menu of options for people to see which one they like best?
Sure. It depends on the service being provided. I do seminars and workshops, and that's a set fee. And that I never have any issue asking for payment for that. It's more of my one-on-one patient care, because I know a lot of times they're just already struggling. But with them, it depends upon the care that's required. And so I do have, you know, if they need whatever they need, I have a breakdown in my contract now that I have this paperwork now established. And I just send it to them right up front before we even have the first session. Parents know their financial obligation and responsibilities, and it's just a natural flow. And I work with them to establish the type of care that they need, and then they pay accordingly.
Okay, so you have kind of, you don't have, this is plan A, this is plan B, this is plan C. This is plan A and it can be altered. This is plan B and it can be tweaked a little bit. This is plan C. And if you like it, we'll go just like this right off the page. So you can adapt to the needs of whatever customer that they have, whatever needs they have, you can adjust your pricing accordingly to fit their needs. Is that correct?
Correct. It's very individualized based on their care. So if it's just a basic nutrition coaching, then this is the price. This is the package deal. We do, I do online virtual 12-week classes, and this is what it costs. But if it's somebody who has a medical condition, then it's individualized.
Awesome. Okay. So how important has it been? You know, like, I know I've sent you the agreements versus expectation audio. How much better is it to have the agreement in place up front so both parties know what's going on versus you having one expectation and they have a completely different expectation?
Night and day. It's just, the agreement is just, this is what happens before the first session. Agreement needs to be signed upon so both parties know what is expected, and it's agreed, and it's just, it's taken care of. They know at the end of the session, payment is required.
And could it be that, all, like you said earlier, one of your previous customers or clients said, frankly, they were shocked that you were giving all this value with no money. So how do you, what is your plan for your business? How do you want to grow it?
It's twofold. My primary focus is the seminars and the workshops. I enjoy that. That is the center that I enjoy the most. And my specialty of care is pediatric obesity. That's where I enjoy working with people who are trying to lose weight and change their life through a healthier approach using biblical principles. So more online workshops, seminars, webinars, and then I enjoy the one-on-one seminar. So I'd like to get away from some of the one-on-one that I'm doing with medical nutrition. So people with Down syndrome, cerebral palsy, major health conditions. I'd like to do less of those and more of the healthy eating, weight management, obesity.
How much of your business comes from the healthy is probably not the right word, where you said they don't have a major medical issue, where they have Down syndrome, or they have whatever.
Weight management is what you're referring to. That's the bulk of my business.
Okay. And how would you like it to look going forward? Like you want, when do you want to have the medical, like Down syndrome or something like that? When would you like that to be completely off your plate and only focus on weight management exclusively?
30 days.
Awesome. Okay. So what have you done about that so far?
I've given my notice at the endocrinologist office that I'm working for.
Okay. And what, and it was well received or?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. 100% referrals, as far as the area that I'm looking at. They've reached out to other physicians and given my name as references and referrals. So it's been very well received.
Awesome. Okay. So what's the next smallest step that you can or need to take to make sure this 30-day timeframe that you've given yourself is more on track? What's the smallest possible step you can take?
Planning, just calendaring out everything. Being very detailed, not to miss anything, that my time is accounted for so that I step into place and ready to go. So that would be the smallest step, is just making sure that my calendar is in alignment, both my physical pencil and pen, paper and pen, and my electronic, that everything matches up.
Okay. So I think that's a good small step you can take, because then when everything matches up with your physical pen and paper schedule and your phone and your online calendar, wherever else you have it, that way you can't double book yourself. If they're all, right. If it's on your phone and it's not on your paper tablet, and you only have your paper tablet with you, there could be communication. So are you willing to commit to get, or let me ask you this, when are you committing to getting that where it's all in sync?
By Sunday.
By Sunday. Okay, perfect. So I think this is a good stopping point, because we could always get into the weeds of, I need to do this, this, this. No, you know what you need to do.
Right, no. Right.
And I think the problem you need to be aware of is where you don't get overwhelmed, where you're thinking of 30 days out. You don't need to worry about 30 days out. You, for right now, you need to get your calendar synced up.
Right, and right. I agree.
After those are done, then you can think about the next step. I've heard it said like this, which I think is a great analogy. Obviously, you know who the Navy SEALs are, right? You've heard of them.
Absolutely. Right.
Okay. So they have a thing called Hell Week where they go through who knows what. Okay. But they said the people that get through Hell Week, because they know they have to eat 3 meals a day.
Right. Right.
The people that get through Hell Week don't think about Friday on Monday. Whenever they wake up Monday morning, or whenever they get woken up, or whenever it starts, all they think about is making it to breakfast. And then once breakfast is done, all they think about is making it to lunch. And then once lunch is done, they only thinking about making it to dinner. And then after dinner, they only think about, I've got to make it to the next breakfast. And that's how they break down a basically impossible task into small actionable steps. Because if you start thinking it's Monday at 6 a.m. and I got to get to Friday at 6 p.m., you're going to quit because it's the gap's too big.
Right, right.
But if you
can, that's what I tell my patients all the time, small baby steps.
Exactly. So, okay, so I'm going to hold you to that. By Sunday or by Monday morning at 8 a.m., you'll have your calendar synced up. And then after that, take the next smallest step that you can take to get it going in the right direction.
Absolutely. Will do.
Awesome. Okay. Well, thanks for joining today. It's been awesome.
Thank you. And I'll see you in about 30 minutes.
Awesome.